The Lord, here today, both what we speak and what we hear will be sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. You will enable us to hear your voice, Lord God, and thereby enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Lord God, that our wills, Lord God, will be humbled. Lord God, and our minds will be enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, that our emotions will be tempered, Lord God, by the fruit of the Spirit. The Lord will be changed, even as we have come to wait upon you in this mountain, O Lord God. We'll be transformed to your very image. And Lord God, in particular, our nation Nigeria, your counsel will stand concerning this nation, and your will be done. We give you praise, Father. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We worship you and we thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want to first acknowledge my fathers, Pastor and Mommy. I want to thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that you have given me once again to share this word with the people of God. I thank you. I really appreciate it. I do not take it for granted. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. And I want to thank God also for his mercies, opening the eyes of our understanding, enable us to hear his voice and to see what God is doing at this present time in our nation, Nigeria. Like Pastor said, I just want to, I'm trusting God, the Lord will help me. It's going to be a very short word. I believe the Lord just put it in my heart to, to share with us. It was just something that, when the Lord opened my eyes to see, I just said to Pastor and Mommy that, this is just what the Lord put in my heart. I didn't know that Pastor was going to ask me to come and, share it with us. But I thank God because it's the word of God, and I trust that it will bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. The word, like Pastor said, is concerning our nation Nigeria and what God is doing in our nation Nigeria at this time. Like we all know, Pastor and Mimi have given us the word of the Lord for this year, 2016, that this year is the year of the manifestation of the glory of God, year of recovery, restoration, and the release of the power of the Holy Spirit. And is not going to be something that will happen to us individually, because we are a corporate people, and we live in a nation. So whatever happens to us will eventually affect the nation, or should I say should eventually affect the nation. So that's why I believe that this word is very relevant at this time. And maybe we just start by reading from the book of 2 Kings from chapter, we're going to do quite a bit of reading, though I believe that we should all be reading our Bibles and we're familiar with the story, but so that we make what I want to share clearer and to make us to understand so that we can finish in time. We'll read from 2 Kings chapter, let's start from 6:24. 2 Kings chapter 6:24. Praise the Lord. Well, if you want to put a title to this message, we can call it The Miracle of Samaria in Nigeria. Praise the Lord. We read from 2 Kings chapter 6:24, and it says that, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad king of Syria gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria, and there was a great famine in Samaria. But I would just like to point our attention to something, that if you read, let's go to verse 23. It says that this was after the prophet had, taken captive the army of Syria, and when they came to capture Elisha, the prophet said, Lord, open the eyes of your servant. Gehazi saw the host and all that, and then he smote them with blindness. Temporary blindness, and then he took them from Dothan to Samaria. He got there, he said, Lord, open their eyes. And the king of of Israel wanted to kill them. He said, no, you are going to kill only the people that you take, you know, with your own sword and with your own arrow. But he said, we are not going to kill them. This is what we are going to do. You will feed them, give them water and bread, and send them back to their, you know, to their master. You know, it's interesting, and, you know, I find it very, very interesting because, you know, I feel that at this time, after they have seen this miracle, the king of Syria should know that he should just, let me just leave them alone. You know, but that will show you, you know, the kind of person that Satan is. Yes. You know, the Bible says that he left, you know, the Lord Jesus for a season. You know, that's the way, you know, the devil does. You know, he doesn't relent. And that is why we also, as the children of God, we must be up at arms all the time. We should never let our guards down. You know, he will come against us one way. The Bible says he will come against us one way, but seven ways. You know, he will flee before us. God will always give us the victory. Amen. Like we see here that again, you know, because of who God is, God gave the people of Israel the victory. And so, you know, he says that in verse 23, he said, you know, and, you know, maybe from verse 23, and he prepared good provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So, the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. But the very next verse, it says that, and it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, he gathered his host. It's a willful thing. You know, it's like, I'm not going to, you know, I don't care what they have done to me. You know, their kindness, you know, to heaven with them. You know, I don't care. You know. You know, I don't care. You know, I mean, let's just do this. We have to overcome these Israelites. And it's the same thing that is happening today. Yes. They just want to, you know, obliterate, you know, just destroy, you know, the whole land of Israel. But it's not going to happen. Amen. Amen. Israel will continue until the end. Amen. So he says that, you know, verse 24, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered his host. And he went up. You know, those are very strong words. He gathered his host. He went up. And he now besieged Samaria. You know. And his intention this time was to starve the people of God. You know, the people of Israel. You know. He could have just, you know, attacked them. But he wanted them to, you know, suffer. You know, starve them in that city. You know. To besiege is to lay siege. You know, they're. It's like, you know, in a, you know, a city surrounded by army. There is no way you can go out. There's no way you can come in. Praise the Lord. So, you know, that's what the, you know, this king wants, you know, wants to do at this time. But we see that because God will never leave his people alone. Amen. Let's say God will never leave his people alone. God has promised, you know, our father Abraham. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, there will be a continuity, you know, of the lineage of Abraham throughout all time. So God had to, you know, at this time also, he came forward, you know, and he saved the people of Israel. And Pastor said, this word is actually a word of salvation for our nation Nigeria. Because I believe this is what God is doing, you know, has started already. And that is what we're going to see unfold in the next, you know, I believe few months, you know, and we can see the ripples. You know, we can see, you know, what is happening in the nation, that God has already begun the work and it will continue in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read verse 25. Let's read together. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cob of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. This is an intense famine, intense economic siege, you know, difficulty. An ass head, you know, the people of Israel know that they shouldn't eat an ass head. It is an abomination. It is an unreasonable, you know, if you know what an ass is, a donkey. There's no flesh there, not much anyway, you know. You know, well, I don't know, you know, maybe you have eaten ECU before, you know. There's not much, not an ass head, you know, nothing there. Whereas at this time, it was very, very expensive to even get an ass head to eat. I've been trying to get the rate of exchange for, you know, from shekel to to 1 silver, but I can't read you. But the important thing here is that we see that the 80 pieces, let's even just take it, denominations, 80 pieces, like 80 naira, or maybe 8,000 naira. 8,000 naira for one ass head. By the time two or three people gather around one ass head, there'll be nothing to, to really get from it. But at this time, it was very expensive to even get an ass head to eat. And you will notice that this siege has been on for some time, So people have been spending, their money. They have been spending their money to get, little food that, they can just, get from, around themselves and all that. But at this time, let's read verse 26. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" Praise the Lord. There is something that I see here. The king of Israel at this time should not be just strolling on the wall. This is time of, he should have been up, praying and seeking the face of God. God, of course, he knows that God can help them. But that was not what he was doing. Of course, that he was, he was son of Ahab, and you notice that, maybe we'll get there, Elisha called him, son of this murderer, so he was not really a very nice man. He was not really a godly king. But the lesson here for us is that, when we have, anything come against us, it's not time to just walk around and just, just leave it and just let it go. It is time to, seek the face of the Lord. Thank you, sir. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Call for the elders, call people together. Jehoshaphat did, something that was different from what he did. When there was a siege by Sennacherib, He went to the house of God. Ezekiah. He went to the house of God and he laid the letter in front of God. I said, "Lord, please help us." I believe we should have been doing this at this time. So when we have, troubles, come against us, when we have a siege, it could be a health siege, a financial siege, or any kind of thing that may come against us, it is time to, turn to the Lord, to seek the face of the Lord and to ask him, for help. And like we know, God always answers the prayers of his people whenever we call upon him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he says that, and he said, "If the Lord do not help you," that is, "I can't help you. I can't help you." Even the king, the Bible says that the arm of flesh will fail. Even, the king that is supposed to be in control of everything, he could not help this woman at this time. The barn floor, food was scarce, wine press, wine. And verse 28, and the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." Let's read it. I'll come back. And so we boiled my own son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, "Give thy son that you may eat him." And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and behold, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Well, nice, putting sackcloth, but you should have cried unto God. You should have turned, turned unto God long, thank you, sir, long before this time. It says that, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened unto you." Praise the Lord. So, verse 31. Then he said, "God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." Praise the Lord. What has Elisha got to do with this? Thank you. He's always angry against God. They can't go and do anything against God. you know, he knows that God is far away, but this Elisha, I can catch him. I can get him. And, you know, I believe he should know that, look, there's nothing you can do to the prophet. He's the servant of the Lord. God will protect the prophet. Even when the king of Syria, this same king, you know, king of Syria that came to besiege them, when he wanted to, you know, take him in Dothan, yeah, I'm sure they told him the story. Shebi was there now. He was there. He knew what happened to him. So this is pure folly, you know. Praise the Lord. So now let me say something about, you know, this woman who said, give me thy son so that, you know, that we may eat him today and we will eat your own son tomorrow. This is cannibalism. But, you know, what touched me was the you know, how hard, yes, the severity of the famine, that a woman, our own son, they boiled it. They must have caught the boy or girl. Please, I want to try and imagine what happened. They must have, you know, gotten to the end of their wits, really starved, desperate, up to the extent that a woman can cut her son in pieces. I don't know whether it was the head that he cut or, you know, whatever. Killed her own son, put it together, boiled it, and they ate it. Is the extreme of, you know, desperation, you know, that this famine has put these people in at this time, you know. And this came to my heart, you know. This was one of the things that, you know, spurred this word in my heart, you know. It's like what is happening in our nation, Nigeria, today. Yes. We may not be eating and boiling them, but, you know, we are taking them for ransom. Look at what happened in, you know, in Ikorodu the other, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they, you know, they picked the, you know, these three girls, and they were asking for ransom. Anything can happen to them; they could die. But thank God that, you know, God had mercy, and, you know, we have them back now. You know, so it shows that even in our nation, Nigeria, yes, people are so desperate,
yes,
because this thing was never had before. People, you know, they'll kidnap, you know, children. School children, you know. Okay, it's okay. They can kidnap, you know, one big man or, you know, politician or something. But, you know, it has gone to the state that nobody is off the limit. They can pick anybody just for money. If they start from 20 million, they say 20 million. You can't pay. Okay, pay 5 million. You can't pay. Okay, pay 1 million. You can't. Okay, pay 500,000. You okay, pay 200. Just pay something. Yes. That is how desperate the situation in Nigeria is now. Praise the Lord. So, you know, it's the same thing that is happening here. People are, you know, we, you know, Nigerians, our children are no more, you know, they're not worth anything to us anymore. If you can pick children on the road and, you know, and just take them, you know, for, you know, ransom, then, you know, we are, you know, in this kind of dire situation. Yes, sir. You know, for cultism, you know, I saw one picture. The cult, you know, don't let me go there. You know, it was very bad. You know, so it shows how, you know, how intense, you know, yes, sir. You know, they take children and, you know, take them for sacrifice or even, you know, for rituals, you know, for money and, you know, things like that. So, you know, this is the kind of situation that we are also in Nigeria today, because it's like, you know, we are like at the gate of, you know, Samaria, you know, so to speak. There is intense, you know, famine inside, you know, even to travel out now, Pastor Wega was telling me yesterday, you know, even if you want to say you want to, I mean, look at the refugees now in Germany. They are not allowing them in. Nobody is finding it easy. Whether you go to Germany or you go to London or America, it's not, you know, it's not as easy as it was before. You know, you will, you know, really sweat. You know, I mean, you know, we all watch this, you know, this Syrian refugees, you know, camping on the borders. I feel so sad, you know, children, you know, at the border waiting to enter, you know. So, but for us in Nigeria, just like God gave the people of Samaria an answer and he delivered them, God is going to deliver Nigeria by his mighty hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's continue. Verse 32. But Elisha sat in his house. This was after he had said that. Verse 31. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, stand on him this day. He's always his head. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But here the messenger came to him. He said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer are sent to take my head away. He didn't, you know, you are dealing with a prophet, a man who is, you know, looking at the face of God, who is beholding the face of God. So he knew what, you know, he was coming to do. And he called him the son of a murderer. Of course, we know that his father was Ahab. You know, so, you know, son of a murderer. He's a murderer. Praise the Lord. You know, so he said that when the messenger cometh, he shut the door and hold him fast at the door, you know, and so on and so forth. Then chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Hey! Now, get this. There was a problem. There was siege, you know, against Samaria. And now, Elisha, the king of Syria, the king of Samaria, you know, feels that, you know, is Elisha that is the cause of the problem. So he says, okay, go and get me Elisha so that I can kill him. I don't know how that one is going to solve the problem. The man that is supposed to help you is the one that you want to kill. Anyway, so then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow, Elisha did not even countenance him, you know, look, God is ready to save his people, you know, in spite of you, this son of a murderer, you know. God is ready to save his people. And that is what I believe God is going to do for us in Nigeria. God will have mercy on us in Nigeria. It has to be the mercy of God, you know, so that, you know, all these, yes, irrespective of the leaders, you know, the politicians, and you know, like Pastor would say, both in the church and, you know, in the nation too, you know, irrespective of, you know, what they're doing, God will have mercy. You know, it's like, you know, don't bother about that. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Amen. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the prophet is saying that the value of Naira is going to appreciate against their dollar. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is what the prophet is saying. And now, at this present time, it doesn't look like it. In fact, is the complete opposite. Is the complete opposite. So, you know, he says that tomorrow, about this time, and we say that in the name of Jesus, we prophesy it. Amen. Tomorrow, about this time. Don't be like the king that, because I know, praise the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Verse 2. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, that is the prophet, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Praise the Lord. So here, the value of, you know, the Samarian currency, you know, is going to appreciate, you know, is about to appreciate. But the, you know, because, you know, this man, thank God the king did not say a word. But it was this man who was his advisor. Who, you know, the Bible says that, the person that the king leans on, that is his advisor, you know. And maybe I'm just getting ahead of myself. You know, God is going to do a 2-pronged deliverance for us in Nigeria. We'll read later. We see that apart from, you know, this Lord on whom the king, you know, leaned, who was killed and removed, also the Syrian siege, you know, the Syrian army rather, you know, was removed. Praise the Lord. So there is, you know, the enemy without and the enemy within. Both of them are going to be removed for us too in Nigeria at this time, just like God did for them in Samaria. So he said that, verse 3. Now, this is where the miracles begin. Praise the Lord. This is where, you know, God moves in. And to show himself good on, thank you, sir, strong on the behalf of the people of Israel. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another. Why sit we here until we die? Praise the Lord. Now, these four leprous men, you know, the Jewish historians, they believe that, you know, it is probably Gehazi and his three sons. You remember that. when Gehazi went to take this clothing from Naaman, you know, the prophet said that, you know, let the leprosy of Naaman come upon you, and he said to you and your sons. It's not written there, but you know, we can, you know, looking at scriptures and all that. So there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then famine is in the city. And if we shall die there, and if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Well, I can see something here. Let's take away the fact that, you know, because it's not written in the Bible, that it is Gehazi and his four sons. But I see something here that, you know, leprosy is a skin disease. You know, they may have, you know, an outer, how will I call it, they're not looking nice, you know, they have, you know, a disease on their skin. But, you know, these people are good men, you know, because they have looked at their situation. They have counted the cost, and they have made up their mind, okay, no matter how bad the situation is, there is always a way forward. Now, this is what we are going to do. This is what we are going to do. If we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die. And if we sit still here, we die also. So, we are going to die anyway. Whether we fall to the Syrians or we go back into the city, we are going to die anyway. So, let's just take our chance. And let's try and do something differently. Let's do something courageous. Let's do something, bold that, you know, probably, you know, who can tell? We may just have, you know, in fact, they said it here that, you know, even if, you know, if you fall to their hand, they may have pity upon us. You know, the Syrians, you know, that, you know, and you know that, the Naaman was a captain of the Syrians. So, you know, the Syrians, I'm sure they will have gotten accustomed to seeing, you know, leprous people, you know, also, you know, because one of their guards too was a leper. So they say, we cannot tell. Maybe he's also, you know, an ogre somewhere. So, you know, maybe that was what they were thinking, you know. But here, we see that, they made up their mind. And they said that if we die, we die. Praise the Lord. If we die, we die. Praise the Lord. Excuse me, please. If we die, we die. You know, then verse 5. Let's do verse 5. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians, and to come upon us. Now, there was something, that was what I was trying to look for. I wrote it down. Now, still talking about the lepers, the Bible says that God is able to save either by many or by few. Now, we see in this instance, God saved both by many and by few. Praise the Lord. Because the Syrian host was, you know, there were many. And these people were just very few people. And now, one other thing that, you know, struck my, that caught my attention was that, you know, the Bible says that one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. How many will three chase? 100,000. Four, 1,000,000. So we see here that the host of the Syrian could not have been up to 1,000,000. This is, you know, fulfillment of that scripture that one will chase 1,000, 10,000. The Syrian army cannot be up to 1 million at this time. So the sound, you know, we'll get there. The sound of these four people, there's something I want us to see here. These four united people, they were leprous. And, you know, today too, maybe that is how, the people from the outside, you know, who are not Christians are looking at us Christians. You know, they're looking at all the blemishes, you know, all the failures, you know, and everything. They're saying, look, you know, I think, you know, I don't want this, you know, because we are not portraying, we're not showing, you know, the true image of our Lord. But, you know, God in his mercies, because they were united, God had mercy on them. Because they were united, God sent deliverance unto them, you know, both by many or by few. So these four people who seemingly worthless people, God had mercy on them because of their unity. Praise the Lord. Because of their unity. If we read, let's read Psalm 133. I want us to just see something there quickly. Psalm 133, verse 1. Why unity is very important in this quest, because what God is going to do, God needs people. You will see that in this instance, God used these four lepers. God did not, you know, he didn't do it in a vacuum. God had to have some people to use. And we are the people that God is going to use, you know, by our prayer, you know, by our confession, you know, by our, you know, our faith in God, not wavering, you know, not doubting that, you know, can this be or can it not be? Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Next verse. Just scroll it as we read. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing and even life forevermore. We'll see here that here also, just like, you know, he said there, God commanded the blessing because these four, you know, lepers, they were united. And we see, you know, from scriptures that there is nothing that will be withheld from people who are united. When a people are united in one purpose, you remember that at the Tower of Babel, you know, even though they were doing something against God, God had to look for another way to make sure that what they intend to do did not come to pass. Because if God did not, you know, confuse their language, one day, as they are building, they will just get to the gate of heaven and say, Father, Oya, Eshilekun, open the door. Yes, because, you know, we were created in the image and the likeness of God. God is a creator. If a man wills to do something, he will eventually do it. Now, in this case, you know, I mean, we may just see that. You know, one day we have just gone to heaven and say, oh yeah, Father, open the gates of heaven. You know, because they were really united, you know, they really intended to, you know, get to heaven. But the important thing I want us to see here is that we must be united. We must be united in our prayer for Nigeria, in our confessions for Nigeria, in our, yes, sir, thank you, sir, in our thinking, you know, in our words. What we say, you know, and in our hearts, you know, about our nation Nigeria. You know, when you see all these things happening, what is going on in your mind? Like I've said, you know, like, you know, the Lord has showed us here now, you know, that, you know, okay, let me just say it. You know, if I say that tomorrow, you know, Naira will be, $1 to 1 Naira. $1 to $1. Amen. Okay, don't be like the king, you know, like the advisor of the king on whom, that he leaned. No, so when you are, you know, when we're united, you know, for one purpose, to see the glory of God made man, and it does not matter our number. It says that if two of you shall agree as concerning anything, you know, when we were praying yesterday, and I was looking, you know, that was where, you know, I actually got this, and I was just meditating. Four people. The Lord said, look at you. You are more than four. You know, extrapolate. Five, you know, 10 million. Six, you know, and so on. And so we are more than enough to deal with whatever is going on in our nation, Nigeria. Praise the Lord. We are more than enough. There is sufficient power available through God, you know, in us. If we release ourselves, you know, to do what we are supposed to do, we are more than enough. You know, God has more than enough people to do what he wants to do in our nation, Nigeria. So this is one of the lessons I want us to take away from, you know, from this message, that we must be united more than ever before in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our words, you know, not doubting, you know, in our confession, relentlessly. You know, when you see anything, you know, Pastor Goiga sent us, you know, some people who are, you know, they just discovered that somebody was getting 60 million naira per month. You know, that is his pay. You know, conniving, you know, through fraud. Can you imagine that? 60 million every month, one person. That is his salary. That is our salary. You know, so, you know, all these people, if we are united against them, you know, just like these four lepers, God will bring deliverance. It's not going to be us, but God needs people. He said that I sought for a man. Praise the Lord. That is even the minimum. One man, he says, if two of you, you know, shall agree as concerning anything, it will be done unto us. Praise the Lord. So, where were we? Let's go to verse 5. Let's read verse 5 now. 7:5. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the... This is, you know, the lepers. They rose up in the twilight. Now, there's another lesson here. Twilight, you know, we can say fourth watch. You know? So, we also must arise at our fourth watch. To do what? To pray. Praise the Lord. So, just like these people wrote, you know, they rose up at twilight, we must wake up in time, you know, to pray, you know, set our days right, so that all the other things that God wants to do through us, you know, our confessions and everything, we have a power base upon which you have built it in the morning, you know, to, you know, push it through. So, he says that, and they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man. For, let's read that together. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. 2. And a noise of horses. 3. Even the noise of a great host. Praise the Lord. We remember, Pastor was preaching and talking to us about the hosts of heaven. You know, the angels. You know, when he was preaching about angels on Sunday, you know, this is part of the things that the angels of God will do when we are united and we are doing what we are supposed to do. It says that, you know, here, the Lord made the host of the Syrians. They heard the voice of chariots. There was no chariot there. There were no chariots. They heard the noise of horses. There were no horses, at least. In fact, if you know, by the time we get there, you will see that there were barely 5 horses remaining in the land of Israel. Maybe there were more. Maybe those were the ones that had enough strength to even venture out of, you know, out of Samaria at this time. So, you know, there are just, you know, very few at this time. But, and verse 6, and they heard the noise of horses and the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Now, I don't know where they got their intelligence from, you know, I don't know where they got their intel from, you know, that it was, they did not, you see, if God be for us, who can be against us? God discomfited them. They were not thinking right again. These are seasoned soldiers. These are seasoned soldiers. The Syrian army, you know, at that time was one of the, you know, very strong armies in the world at that time. But they lost their senses, their wisdom, their common sense. Everything was gone. I don't know where they got their intelligence from. You know, even, you know, here he even says that maybe they have hired the Hittites and the Egyptians. How will a man who cannot sustain his people have money to go and hire somebody? Are you thinking with me? Praise the Lord. There is famine. And you are saying, oh, maybe they have hired. Where will he get the money? He can't even feed his people. How will they end? How will they get out of that place to go and get the Egyptians and the Hittites? You know, but when God is set to do something, he can deal with your enemy anyhow. They will just lose their senses. You know, one thing that comes to my mind here, you know, was, you know, years ago, I remember, you know, I don't know, you know, if I can say this, you know, when, you know, Ambrobas, you know, went to, you know, Pastor and Mommy, you know, and I've never had it before. An Ambrobas shooting another Ambrobas because of somebody. You know, these are the people you want to deal with. You know, shot the other one. That is God in action for you. Praise the Lord. You know, so if God be for us, nobody, even, you know, the Syrian host cannot be against us. Praise the Lord. Now, so verse 7, wherefore, this is the Syrian army now, because they hear that, you know, they have heard the noise of horses and the noise of a great host, which was not there. I believe this was the agency of the angels of God. Praise the Lord. God sent his angels. You know, maybe they heard the sound inside their head, or maybe it was a sound like, you know, like the thunder, you know, rain. You know, maybe that was what they heard. We don't know. But the Bible says that they heard a noise of horses, the noise of a great host. And I'm sure if, you know, angels, if they come against you, you will know that they were really a great host. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses even the camp, and it was, and they fled for their lives. Praise the Lord. Now the Syrian army have fled. They have, you know, they have scampered. You know, they are running away because of the noise of horses that they think that they heard in their head. Verse 8. And when the lepers came unto the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and they did eat and drink, and carry then silver and gold. I can put myself in their position. You know, that was actually why they went out in the first instance. You know, they were saying, if we die, you know, if we go to the Syrian camp, we may die. If we stay at home, you know, and enter the city, we may die. So let's, you know, just go and venture and see. And when they now saw that, you know, the Syrian army had fled, they, you know, the first instinct was for them to eat, you know, because they were hungry. So they, you know, they ate and they drank, and then after they drank, you know, they pilfered a little. They carried then silver and gold and raiment, and they went and did what? They hid it. And then they came again. They entered into another tent, and they carried them also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. Praise the Lord. Let's read this together. They said one to another, we do it well. This day is a day of good tidings. Praise the Lord. Let's say it together. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the crux of this message. This is the day of good tidings. God has spoken good concerning us in Nigeria. It does not matter what is going on around the nations, you know, the enemy without or the enemy within. This is the word of the Lord. Today is the day of good tidings. God has spoken good concerning us, and we are not going to hold our peace anyway. Now, they now said, if we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came, and they called on the porter. You know, you can read all that, you know. And praise the Lord. You know, I'm trying to see. Okay, verse 12. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servant, this was after they had reported to the king. The king now sent, messengers out to go and check it out, you know. And then one other thing that I actually saw here is in verse 13, you know, about, you know, the five horses that I said the other time. And he said, and one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all as the multitude of Israel that are left. Behold, I say, they are even as the multitude of Israel. Let us send and see. But in the next verse, you will see that they didn't even take the five horses. There were only two horses that were carrying the chariots. And when I read this, what came to my mind was, you know, the apostle and the prophet. Praise the Lord. You know, the apostle and the prophet. You know, they are the people who, you know, who God speaks to and gives the direction that the nation should go in. And I thank God because, you know, what I'm sharing today, you know, mommy had also, you know, also, you know, uses to pray when we're praying for our nation, Nigeria, you know, as it were, giving direction concerning, you know, what God is doing and what God is, you know, is an ongoing thing doing in our nation, Nigeria. So, you know, the apostles and the prophets, you know, were the ones that were now sent, you know, to go and check, you know, what is going on, to, you know, to go and check it out. And verse 15, and they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned, they told the king. Then now, this is the beginning of the miracle. It's actually started, but this is the beginning of the physical manifestation. It says that, verse 16, and the people went out, and they now spoiled the tents of the Syrians. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The people went out, and they now spoiled the tents of the Syrians. Now, like I said, this is our year of Jubilee. This is our year of restoration. This is our year of recovery and release. You know, Bible says that the Lord told David. He said, pursue, overtake, and you recover all. Praise the Lord. So in Nigeria, we're going to pursue, we will overtake, and recover all. The Lord will restore all that the enemy has taken. You know, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust, the palmerworm. And it's interesting, there are four too. There are four too. Cankerworm, caterpillar, locust, and palmerworm. Okay. So the Lord will restore everything that has been stolen, you know, from our nation, Nigeria. You know, the Bible even says that all that if the enemy, you know, steals something, it will restore it sevenfold. So we're going to receive a full recompense, you know, full reward, you know, complete, total, you know, emancipation. Praise the Lord. Like mommy gave that word, you know. And now God will release. It will cause there to be a release. Praise the Lord. What came to my mind, you know, when I got here was what happened when Noah, after he had built the ark, you know, maybe let's just read it. Genesis 7, verse 11. You know, when God opened the windows of heaven. Because, you see, this king, advisor, you know, that was with the king, he was saying that even if God opens the window of heaven, you know, this thing cannot be. But we see that when God opens, let's go there, when God opens the windows of heaven, we know what can happen. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. And what? Let's read together. And what? The windows of heaven were opened. Praise the Lord. Now, you can see that the windows of heaven can be opened for judgment, or it could be opened for blessing. But for us in Nigeria, and like what happened here, God opened the windows of heaven for them, and he brought blessing upon them. When the children of Israel were, you know, were in the wilderness, God opened the windows of heaven, and he brought manna for them. Praise the Lord. So, in Nigeria, also for us today, God will open. In fact, I say, God has opened for us the windows of heaven, so that we'll have a deluge. Let's read verse 17. A deluge of, you know, the manifestation of the glory of God. No. Genesis 7:17. Thank you. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased. Let's say increase. And it bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. Verse 19. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the isles that were under the whole of heaven were covered. This is what God is going to do. God is going to, and thank God is raining. Amen. So the windows of heaven are opened. Amen. We already started receiving our rain, you know, the latter rain and the former rain. Praise the Lord. So, you know, so God has opened the windows of heaven, as you can see. So God will cause, you know, it is this window of heaven, it is this blessing that will cause, like we see here, you know, that will bring up the ark you know, it will be destruction for others, but for us, it will be blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that, you know, it says, you know, as the Lord liveth, you know, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So the whole of Nigeria is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, that was in when we were reading, we talked about the noise of chariots, you know, and the hosts of God. I was just meditating on this, and you know, the Lord just, you know, I have read that scripture before, but as I just got here, you know, this scripture just jumped to me. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 7. You know, we see here how that, you know, this host of God that we are talking about, you know, they have their commander, they have their administrator, they have their GOC, they have, you know, director of operations. Let me just show us briefly. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 7. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Next verse. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Next verse. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God. Now, if you see, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. That is, you know, let me just say it here. God is the director of operations. Praise the Lord. You know, in an army, you know, we have the you know, in a nation, we have the military, the army, navy, and air force, you know, and they all know what, you know, they are supposed to do, you know, after the training. So, you know, here, you know, the Holy Spirit is one who gives the gifts. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. Praise the Lord. You know, that is, you know, he's also involved in the training, because you know that he's the one that is training us to reign. He's the one who is involved in the training, and, you know, he's the one who gives the, you know, when they are ready to go to battle, he'll give them the ammunition, he'll give them the AK-47, the grenade, you know, the bayonet, and all the things that they need. But, you know, apart from that, the next person we see is the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. No. 5. And there are differences of administrations, but it is the same Lord. Now, this administration, you know, the Bible says that, you know, Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He, you know, is the one who goes conquering and to conquer. Is the one who is riding, you know, upon the white horse. You know, is the one who is riding upon the white horse. Thank you, sir. Is the one who is riding upon the white horse. Is, you know, is the one who goes conquering and to conquer. You know, the Bible says that he will be, you know, ahead of the breaker company. Praise the Lord. So we see here that, even with God, we have, you know, there are administrations, there is you know, operations, and we have the distribution of the gifts, which is the which is what the Holy Spirit actually does. Now, what are the things that we must learn, you know, from this? The first thing is that, I've said that before, that God is able to save either by many or by few. We see this from the, you know, from the example of the four lepers, you know, how that, you know, one would chase 1,000 and two would chase 10,000, because they are united. And then we see also here that at the entry of the gate, at that time, there was no leadership, you know, because there was a siege. You know, the king that was supposed to take, you know, leadership was not, you know, he was not doing what he was supposed to do. And, you know, it's like a transition time. And that is the kind of time that we are in now, when God is going to transfer the kingdom from Saul to David. When God is going to transfer the priesthood, you know, the priesthood from Eli to Samuel. So God is calling us, you know, the church at this time to take control of the heavenlies and control the heavenlies over our nation Nigeria. Of course, the Bible says that, you know, the government shall be upon his shoulder, that is, on the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are part of his body. So we should also be, you know, part of the government. Praise the Lord. Now, one other lesson is that the lepers, they decided not to be neutral. They did not sit on the fence. And I believe that God is, you know, asking us also not to, you know, not to sit on the fence. This is not the time to be warm. this is the time, you know, he says that if you are going to be, thank you, this is not the time to be lukewarm. If you are going to be hot, be hot. If you are going to be cold, be cold. You know, he says that, you know, if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out. So this is not the time, particularly at this time, this transition time, is not the time to be lukewarm. You know, this is the time to be hot for God, you know, firing, you know, with all of our cylinders to bring the kingdom back unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I also now want us to read from Isaiah 62. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just quickly read verse 9. I want to make a point there. It says in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9. He said, then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Praise the Lord. This is not the time to hold your peace. Holding your peace is doing nothing. Praise the Lord. This is the time to speak out. This is the time to pray. You know, this is the time to seek the Lord. You know, he said that, I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, we shall not hold their peace day or night. So this is not the time for us to hold our peace. This is the time for us to stand on our watch. Praise the Lord. You know, like Pastor always admonishes us, you know, all our cluster prayers, you know, Monday, we come to church, pray on Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, some people do today, tomorrow, you know, Friday, you know, we should keep the heat on. I remember it was Brother Williams that said that, you know, because we're praying every day, you know, the enemy cannot regroup. Yes. Praise the Lord. You know, if you attack, you know, I read a little bit of war books and all that. If you attack and you hold back, they can quickly regroup and then plan and strategize. But if you hit them, you know, today, tomorrow you go against them, tomorrow, you know, continuously, you just completely, you know, disorientate them, you scatter them, and they can't get, you know, their bearings back. You know, that is what God is doing in Nigeria today. That, you know, I really thank God, because if you notice, the frequency of the bombings has drastically reduced. Praise the Lord. Even the ones that we hear that happened today, you know, it's just, you know, the devil is just trying to, it's just like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. There is only one lion, that is the tribe of Judah. Praise the Lord. He is not a lion. We know the real lion. Amen. So, you know, he's just trying to make us afraid. No. We know that our prayers are working. We are hitting them hard, continuously, every day. Praise the Lord. So, please, can we just quickly read Isaiah 62? I'll just quickly round up with this. Isaiah 62. Let's read from verse 3. We are going to do some work of prophesying over our nation Nigeria now. Amen. Because this is a day of good tidings. Praise the Lord. The windows of heaven are opened upon us. The siege is over. Amen. Praise the Lord. $1 to $1. $1 to $1. You may think, is that possible? It is possible. Knowledge of witty inventions, creativity, manifold wisdom. How do you think Solomon got so wealthy? People were bringing in something, you know. They were bringing in things. Queen of Sheba, bring your own. Hiram, king of Hiram, bring your own. Praise the Lord. The windows of heaven are open. So, they are coming to Nigeria. Investors are coming into Nigeria. We too will be investors. Praise the Lord. We will invest, you know, in our nation Nigeria, and, you know, great and mighty things will begin to spring forth in our nation Nigeria. So let's just do this prophesying together. Amen. This is concerning Nigeria. This is the word of the Lord for us in Nigeria. In Nigeria, we shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of our God. Just keep going as we read. We shall no more be termed, let's read it together. We shall no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall our land Nigeria anymore be termed desolate, but we shall be called Hephzibah, and our land Beulah. For the Lord delighted in us, and our land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoice over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee, over Nigeria. I have set watchmen upon thy walls. Watchmen, where are you? Praise the Lord. We are the watchmen. Amen. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Nigeria, which shall not hold their peace day or night. We will make mention of the Lord. That is the name of the Lord. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It is walking in love that will save Nigeria. Praise the Lord. Next verse. Keep not silent and give him no rest until, praise the Lord, until he establish, until he make Nigeria a praise in the earth. Go on. And the Lord has won by his right hand. Praise the Lord. By his right hand. The Bible says that the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. And we are his hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are his right hand. Praise the Lord. And by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. Amen. Amen. Can we shout amen to that? God will no more give our corn to be meat for our enemies, and the sons of strangers shall not drink our wine, which we have labored for. Go on. But they that have gathered it shall eat it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's this scripture. The husbandman that laboreth shall first be a partaker of the first fruit. Praise the Lord. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have bought it together shall drink in the course of my holiness. Next verse. Go through the gates. God is talking to us now. This is the way we are going to do it. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Prepare a highway for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lift up a standard to the people. Hold it there. Lift up a standard to the people. Make the mountains, bring the mountains low. The valleys filled. The crooked places made straight. The rough places made plain. A highway made ready for the God of Jacob to have his way in Nigeria. Amen. So he says, lift up a standard for the people. Go on. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say you to the daughter of Zion, Nigeria. Amen. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Next verse. I think that's the last verse. And let's read it together. And they shall call them the holy... Sorry, let's read it this way. And they shall call Nigeria the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And we shall be called, sought out, a nation not forsaken. Praise the Lord. A nation not forsaken. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 What a prophetic word. You may be seated. You know, when a word comes from God, when Pastor Andrew sent me this word, I told him, I said, this is what God wants us to share tonight. I had something else planned, but God said, you'll do that one later. He said, this is what God wants us, because it is a cutting edge present truth. These are historical accounts in the Bible, but you can see the direct prophetic significance and application to our situation in Nigeria. And you can, when this kind of word comes, the Bible says, believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. I want to just amplify one or two things that God has used Pastor Andrew to share with us. Nobody has told us that there is a famine in Nigeria now. The economic situation in Nigeria is so severe. And like he pointed out, kidnappings, armed robbery, violence, terrible things are happening. Our currency has fallen to the lowest limits that has ever happened. I was just whispering to my wife, and now looking at naira to $1. Even to do things abroad now are so difficult. But God has spoken to us to show us that there is a way out. And this prophetic word that the Lord has used his servant to bring to us gives us light and gives us direction as to how God is going to do this thing and bring us out of this. One very important thing is faith. What does faith mean? It means trusting God. As Pastor Andrew was preaching, I'd never thought about it before until he spoke now and it hit my heart. He asked a question. He said, what did Elisha have to do with the famine? Why did Ahab blame Elisha for what was happening? It does not seem logical until you understand what had happened before. God has used Elisha to smite the Syrians, and they were blind. Now, God did not allow Ahab to kill them. And God now told Ahab that he should let the Syrians go back. They went back to their master. And Ahab is now thinking that if I had killed those people, this would not be happening. So it was Elisha's fault that they were able to come back to besiege us. Because had Elisha allowed me to kill the Syrians, what is happening would not be happening now. Had Elisha used the power of the Holy Spirit, the prophetic power on him, had he used it to stop the Syrians, they would not be attacking us. So he was now blaming Elisha for what happened. Of course, he was wrong, because what Elisha did was what God told him to do. A very big lesson here is this. What I wrote it down when Pastor Andrew was ministering, the depravity of the human heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. After God had shown mercy and kindness to the Syrians, the same Syrians came back to attack Samaria. But you know the real problem? The problem was not the Syrians. The problem was the leadership in Israel. Because had Ahab, after the great deliverance and the walking in love that Elisha had shown, smote them with blindness, did not kill them. Ahab wanted to kill them. He said, no, don't do that. Let them go. You know what Ahab should have done? He should have been sleeping in Elisha's house. He should have been going to the prophet. Ah, God, prophet, thank God for what you did. What should we do now? Had they been praying, the Syrians would never have come back. It was the disobedience of the house of Ahab, the disobedience of the leadership, that opened the door for Satan to be able to work again on the heart of the Syrians and bring them back. So when this thing happened, instead of taking the blame, honesty of heart, instead of Ahab to look inwards and say, what have I done? And go back to the prophet and say, Elisha, I'm so sorry. Look at this thing has happened again. He started blaming the prophet instead of blaming himself. So what did God do? Like Pastor Andrew said, God ignored what Ahab said and brought a word of deliverance through the mouth of the prophet and said, but that by this time tomorrow, there's going to be financial prosperity. There's going to be a release. There's going to be a let up of this financial siege that the nation is under. The king, or the man who leaned on the king's side, he didn't believe it. It's just like today. It's very difficult if you don't know the Bible and you do not pray and you don't have revelation in your heart. It's difficult for you to believe that anything good can come out of the Nigerian situation. The things are so difficult. The economy is so bad. In terms of, you know, the foreign exchange and the great, I don't know whether to use the word great, the obscenity of the corruption that has taken place and is still taking place. I was just reading the papers just a few days ago that they discovered ghost workers. Billions every month. But do you know, and this is the word I want to bring to complement what Pastor Andrew has brought. Do you know that that very, very corruption, this very, very problem is the same thing God would turn around for the good of Nigeria? The central bank governor just announced a few days ago, I mentioned it in church, that there is $20 billion resting idle in domiciliary accounts in Nigeria. That's the answer. That's the solution. The solution we want is right here. The provision for Israel was right outside the gate of Samaria. It was right there. But the question was, how are they going to get it? So what did God do? God moved. And that's why what we shared on Sunday, Ministry of Angels, that's exactly what happened. What they heard, what the Syrian... Let's go back to the fundamentals. Who spoke to the lepers? God. It was angels. God used the angels to whisper to the lepers and people who don't even have any hope. What put that thought into their mind? Who put the thought into their mind? They were angels on assignment and gave them the courage. They said, if we stay here, we will die. If we go into there, we will die. Let's go to war. Whoa, it was God. Now, as they were approaching the camp of the Syrians, the same ministering spirits. And that's why God is called, especially God the Holy Spirit, is called the Lord of Hosts. Do you understand? They actually heard the noise of chariots, the noise of horses. But they were not natural chariots. They were not natural horses, because it is the same chariots that were at Dothan when they came to capture Elijah. The Bible says Elijah told, he said, open his eyes. What did he see? Chariots and horses. It was the same chariots, the same horses. But they were not physical, they were spiritual. And God allowed their sound to be heard in the physical. They heard the hosts of heaven. And God put that fear into their heart. And said, they have gone to hire, like Pastor Andrew said, it doesn't make any sense. A king that is besieged, his people are not eating. Where is he going to get money to go and hire the Egyptians and the Hittites? But it was the angels of God, that, like he did in the case of Jehoshaphat. He said, he put confusion. Go and read it. He said, when Jehoshaphat they came, he said, God put confusion inside their camp so that they began to kill one another. Remember Adolf Hitler. Do you know that under no normal military strategy should Adolf Hitler have considered attacking Russia? He was at the peak. He had conquered the whole of Europe. England was barely hanging on by her toenails. The German armed forces were the strongest, most powerful, most modernized, with all kinds of equipment. By in the 1940s, they had already had all these guided missiles. The German scientists had already done them. They already had V2 rockets. The whole world was waiting for Adolf Hitler to conquer everything. What would make the same thing like this Syrians? What would make someone like Adolf Hitler just say, he just woke up one morning, called his generals, and said, the next plan for the armed forces is for us to attack Russia. You know what he said? He said, England is not our natural enemy. He said, I know Stalin is waiting for me to try and cross the channel to go and attack England, and then he will attack me. He said, what we're going to do is that we're going to attack Russia in a 6-week summer campaign and just finish them off, and then we will make peace with America and with England, and we'll end this war. That was his plan. And he all his generals, even in Mein Kampf, he had written, Adolf Hitler said he will never fight a war on two fronts. He did the exact opposite of what he had sworn he would never do. Every general, Guderian, the Desert Fox, all of them, they said, Mein Führer, this is madness. Don't let us do this. Don't let us do this. Hitler said, have I ever been wrong? When you said we should not attack France, did I not attack France and conquer it? When you said we shouldn't do this, didn't I do it? And so the generals were divided. Some of them said, please don't do this. Others said, he's a supreme military genius. He has never been wrong. If he says we should do it, let's do it. That was the turning point in World War II. It was Papa Rav was speaking here. It was angels who confused him. They spoke to his heart. Attack Russia. You're hearing noise of chariots, and they went to go and hire something from Egypt. Angels. Put it inside the minds of those Syrians, just like he did with Adolf Hitler. You know, if you read the story of World War II, and you hear so, you begin to see how God truly rules in the affairs of men. These things we're talking about, they're not cunning device fables. These ministering spirits, they really work. Even in this wrong case, he had made so much progress. He was looking at Moscow like that. The German forces had reached, they could see Moscow through their binoculars. All he had to do was just push in, and he would have gotten Moscow. You know what happened? They got to about 50 kilometers outside Moscow. The same Adolf Hitler, angels again, just whispered to him. There are some oil fields just to the west of Moscow. So he told his general, he said, let's quickly go and secure those oil fields so that we will have oil and petrol for all of our tanks. Guderian said, my fear, don't let's do this. Let's just go. Let's get Moscow first. When we get Moscow, then we can come back to the oil fields. Hitler insisted. And because he was a dictator, nobody could argue with him. He insisted. Those 2 weeks made all the difference. They went, they secured the oil fields. By the time they came back, and when the winter had come. And that was what saved the situation. Didn't God know when the winter was going to come? Didn't God know? God, give the Lord a clap of it. God rules in the affairs of men. No matter how strong and powerful a person is, if God comes against you, you will do stupid things. Stupid things. And so, what did they do? The Syrians, they ran away. And these lepers came, they found all the food and everything, you know, went back, told the same stupid Ahab. The same silly Ahab, you know, went back and told him, and then all the people came and they got food and everything. He didn't want to cut Elisha's head again over when he had seen that the word of the Lord had come to pass. Let's fast forward to Nigeria. There's 20 billion naira, dollars, excuse me, sitting idle. You know what Nigeria is planning to do? What they were planning to do? But as we pray, God is going to give them wisdom. You know what they're planning to do? They want to go and borrow money. The government wants to go and borrow. They want to go and borrow money, you know, in order to shore up our external reserves and buy the things that we need and give the foreign exchange to manufacturers and everything. It makes no sense. Why go and borrow money when the money is here? You need to go and borrow the money. All you need to do now is tell the people who have domiciliary accounts that you can buy treasury bonds. We will give you interest on that. Instead of going to borrow externally, the thing is already here. With the money, we, apart from that 20 billion, with all this money that is being recovered, trillions, you just keep hearing every day. You know, they're stealing money here, stealing money there. Fortunately, to the glory of God, some of this money is being retrieved. Switzerland and many of these countries have agreed now to give Nigeria back its money with proper management. And the wisdom of God, we don't need to go and borrow a penny from anybody. We can use these same resources to turn the Nigerian economy around so that by this time tomorrow. What we need now is we must not hold our peace. The watchmen must not hold their peace. As we continue to pray, the ministry spirits will go. They will talk to Buhari. They will talk to Kemi Adeosun. They will talk to the central bank governor. God will whisper in their ear. And they will hear what God wants them to do. And they will do it. It's not rocket science. A little bit of wisdom, a little bit of correct management, this whole situation can be turned around. In closing, during the Obasanjo regime, Yar'Adua, Charles Soludo, I don't agree with him in everything good, but I'm just going to pick something good. He suggested at that time that we change our currency. They shut him down. Looking back now, particularly with the situation we are in now, all they need to do, Ghana did it with the Cedi, change the currency and put another currency and put a better value for the Naira and back it up with these reserves that we have. Overnight, the Naira value will change. It is not rocket science. It's been done before. The problem with that is that normally you cannot do that if you don't have a reserve. But now that there is a reserve, they can borrow. They can don't go and borrow from IMF, go borrow from the Nigerians. And so as it right now, your domiciliary account does not attract any interest. It does not attract any money. Make it attractive. And people will make the amount of money that enters Nigeria from diaspora is the highest anywhere. There are so many Nigerians who live in England, who live in America, and they are always sending money home. So Nigeria already, as I speak, we already have enough foreign reserve that is coming in. If the government creates the right policies, they will be able to use that reserve to shore up the Naira and change everything around. And this word, when I heard this, I said, God, that's the answer. We will not hold our peace. God will change our situation. Let's stand to our feet. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Don't hold your peace. This is a day of good tidings. I said this is a day of good tidings. I said this is a day of good tidings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are the people at the gate. Nobody is reckoning with us. All the government and all, they are all inside the city trying to figure out how they are going to solve the problem. But God already has the answer. And all we need to do is open our mouth, pray, seek the Lord. Let our angels, the ministry of angels, let them do their work. And God will move in this situation. How God's going to do it, the details, I don't know fully. But I have a light, as I have shared with us. There is more than enough. Many of the seasoned economists are backed what I've told you. There is enough. Nigeria has enough. It just needs good policy, correct management. And this whole situation that seems impossible will turn around overnight. They're already trying to block, things in ghost workers. Thank God for BVN now and biometrics so that, you can't just take money and spend like they used to do. They are blocking the amount of money that normally was being frittered away that's being blocked. Now, even those savings are enough to do what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. This is a day of good tidings. This is a day when God is going to reverse our situation. Like what Ms. Sarah said, release, restoration, recovery, a year of jubilee. No wonder the word of the Lord is clear. Hallelujah. Holy are you, Lord. All creation.
All creation.
Holy God.
Holy God.
So worthy is your name.
Worthy.
Is your name.
Father, we worship you.
We worship you.
You are God. one hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. I'm going to pray together in a minute, and I want you to tell God, I'm one of those that will be an answer to this problem. I will not hold my peace until you make Nigeria a praise in the earth. Tell God, I'm not going to sit here until we die. I'm not going to sit here until we die. Tell God. The word of the Lord has come. God has sent his servant to let us know. This is a present, truth, cutting edge prophetic word. The answer to the Nigerian problem is not beyond the sea. It's right here at the gate of Samaria. The answer to Israel's problem was right there at the gate. It just needed a little bit of manipulation. Just moving of men. And behold, in 24 hours, what was thought was impossible became possible. God didn't rain down manna from heaven. The manna was already there. It was just a question of moving men. Moving men moved the Syrians. He moved Ahab. He moved the lepers. And lo and behold, God is going to move men in Nigeria. Amen. God is going to move situations in Nigeria. Amen. God is going to move the government in Nigeria. Amen. Talk to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to us tonight concerning the miracle of Samaria in Nigeria today. Father, I thank you because your word tells us that in everything we should give thanks. I thank you. I thank you in this difficult economic situation that Nigeria is in. I thank you that nothing takes you by surprise. I thank you because you already have an answer. Father, I choose to be a part of the solution. Lord God, here I am. Send me. Send me. I will not love my life unto the death. Lord God, I will give myself to intercession. I will not hold my peace. Until you make Nigeria a praise in the earth. I will pray. I will seek your face. I will fast. I will walk in love. I will do your will by your mercy and by your grace. And we will see you move. You will move men. You will move leaders. You will move situations. You will move circumstances. And you will change the economic configuration of our nation and bring it into emancipation in the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I will not keep quiet. I will not be silent until I see your miracle of release, of recovery here in Nigeria, of restoration in the name of Jesus. I believe your word. I believe your word. I stagger not in unbelief at your promise. You have said it. You have said it. I believe the prophet, and we will prosper in Nigeria. In Jesus' name. Nekatoloma shalebregas. Nikatolomikatofridingas. Liprinish tofrene. Zofreka kalama shalebiko. Zoprikitola mangatoloma shalikitofre. Zofrika kalama tulomushanga. Zoprika kalama tulomundogomatar. Zofi. Zofreka kalebe. Jikitofre. Mambreka tolomatofreshe. Tolomotofri do frishi, Lombergamotolomotofri do frishi, Sophia, you could to fear Lambrica Tosca, Gelebraca to fish, Tolomatolomatolomus to fresh, Lombrica Matolomatofre, Tofrido Frishi, Jogo Cocomatolo, Zifridi, Zofrede, Ramangash, Loprica Matolomatolo, Lombrica Matolomus to Fridufish, Tolomatufrini, Tolomangara, Lombrica, Lombreca, Lombraca to Fridufishi, Zofria, Lombraca Gamatolomatolomus to Fre, Zane, Shaki to Fredelens, No Fredelens, No Fredelens, Ni Fredelens, No Fredelingaras, Nosco Frenes, Jiki to Frenes, Lupridelicas, To Fredes, No Fredelens, Jiki to Frenes, No Fredelias, No Fredes. Fredelens, Jiki Tufres, Nungaras, Tolomaras, Tuske Fridis, Zelebredes, Shilikaras, Nufridis, Nungerias, Nufridilis, Tufridilis, Tofrenes, in Jesus' name.